hunger.
The humanoid must not escape.
Everybody, welcome back to Game Blips. It is season 3, episode 3. Again, it's Fred, hello, and Kara.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. How was your holiday?
It was really good.
Excellent.
I have something really exciting to talk about. At least I think it's exciting.
Is this a surprise or?
Yeah.
Or do I know?
Oh, you know.
Oh. Yeah,
you
know. Oh, okay.
But nobody else does.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So you want me to tell you?
And everybody else, sure, yes.
Yes, I do. So for Christmas, I got an iPad 2, so I'm super excited about gaming on it. The first thing I did when I got it was download a bunch of games that I've heard people talk about that I always wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And I downloaded one based on your recommendation as well, so
yes.
I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm enjoying having a new method to game on.
We need to hook up on there and actually go on a raid or something.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to change my name. Like, why is my name super strange? So Fred,
that's one of the best ones I've seen.
So Fred tried to find me on there. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, my name's Uber Dalam. Search for me. He's like, what's your name? I have no idea what it is. So I just add him.
It's got another U on it.
It's like U Zaki user. I don't know. Yeah, something totally strange. I don't remember putting in a name. And
yeah,
I certainly wouldn't think of that.
Yeah, on the game, if you just join and you don't put anything in, it'll make one for you.
Oh, I see. So we're talking about Pocket Legends, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This is a game that Fred recommended I download. Kind of like it's
actually pretty amazing. Sorry to cut you off on that, but I got two people at my office to actually start playing. And I see them online all the time, and one guy, he just trucked through it. He played it one night, got up to like level 23, and then over the new year, I didn't really talk to him or see him, came back and I looked it up. He's like at level 32 now.
Oh, wow.
So he's really only played like maybe 3 or 4 days.
I don't even think, I might be like level 3 or something. I haven't played it that
three,
much.
Something like yeah. That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a little confused about what to do once I got back to this shop where there was a whole bunch of people spawned there trading things, and I wasn't sure what to do after that, so I was like, well, I'll move on to something else for now.
Yeah, that game, well, like most MMOs, it's good to play with, not necessarily like a guild or a clan, but, play with somebody that has been playing it for a little bit, because it gets confusing, because half the time, especially in the towns, there's so many people there. You don't know really who's an NPC or, who's an actual player. And then there's so many people that are all overlapped on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it can get confusing.
Yeah. So besides my iPad, I picked up, well, for Christmas, I guess I got Dead Space 2 for the PS3 and downloaded Tokyo Jungle for the PS3, which I've been enjoying. I'll talk about it when we do games we've been playing.
I have a big question about that, but I'll wait until we're talking about it.
Okay. I have a feeling I know what your question is.
Yeah, probably.
I got a pro controller for the Wii U from my brother.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't get these games, but he did. He got Scribblenauts Unlimited and New Super Mario Brothers U. So I watched him play the new Super Mario Brothers, which, I mean, it looked fine, but it wasn't anything more than what you're going to expect, I guess.
Is it just a shinier version of New Super Mario Bros. Wii?
It is, pretty much. Okay. I mean, there's some new characters. There's like these flying squirrels I've never seen in a Mario game before that are just kind of flying around, so I've not seen those before. But other than that, from what I saw, you know, it wasn't spectacular. But I mean, I'm sure it's a good game, but it's not mind-blowing or anything.
Right.
I played Scribblenauts, actually. I'm up to, I think there's 50 star rights that you can get to unlock all the levels, and I think I'm at 42 or something like that, so I've actually played quite a bit, and that game's, it's a lot of fun, but it's so much easier than I remember it being. Like, on the DS, I remember it being super hard.
The DS is crazy.
I know. It seems like it's really dumbed down. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it really does seem dumbed down. And then I guess I got the Late Night and Ambitions expansion packs for The Sims 3 for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I got, I guess, gaming related. But, I mean, the games I downloaded on my iPad, I've already got Bastion downloaded, which I wrote about on our website.
Right.
But I love that game. It plays so well on the iPad. I mean, I tried playing it on the on my Mac through Steam. And, I mean, it was fun, but I just couldn't get used to the controls. Like, I kept falling off the cliff, and it was super frustrating. But it plays really well on the iPad, and I've probably put, I don't know, 4 hours or so into it.
That's pretty big, you know, especially when a lot of people think that, you know, tablets and phones, Android, iOS, you know, pocket gaming, that kind of stuff, that it's really Twitch gaming, you know, very short term. And if you put that kind of time into it already, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm almost done with it, I think. But, I mean, I just completed the Bastion, all the different things that go in there. But I think there's still more to come, because I was just about to fly back to the Bastion, and I have to go collect the shards now. So I don't know how familiar I are with the game, but
I've only seen it in motion, you know, just watching stuff on YouTube, because I haven't had a chance to actually get it yet.
Yeah, it's 99¢ in the App Store right now, at least for Apple.
Right.
For the iPad. So I think that's pretty cheap, because I got it for cheap on Steam, but that seems really cheap. I mean, I think I paid like $5 for it on Steam.
Well, so, for Steam, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I also downloaded The Walking Dead, which I haven't got a chance to play yet. The first episode's free, and then you buy, like, the next 4 episodes. I think there's 5 total. Mm-hmm. But everyone is just going crazy about this game right now, so that'll probably be the next thing I play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pretty cool for, it's like a point-and-click kind of thing by Telltale, right? The same people who did the Back to the Future games.
Right.
Which, those are fun, too. I played those on the PS3. I downloaded Infinity Blade 2, which I haven't played yet, but it looked awesome, and it took, like, an eternity to download on my mom's wireless, so I'm thinking that it must be pretty massive.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The wireless up there is wireless.
Yep, it is slow. I got GTA, or Grand Theft Auto 3 for 99 cents, which I thought was a good deal.
I almost picked that up.
Yeah. It's hard to play on the iPad, though, I'm not going to lie. I haven't got into it too much, but it controls kind of difficult, but still, for 99 cents, I had to get it.
Right.
I downloaded Slenderman as well. Did you play that on the PC when it was...
I've played other versions of it. There's one on Android, and man, the reaction videos are hilarious on YouTube.
Well, I was like, I don't know. I didn't think it was that good on the iPad. I mean, I was pretty disappointed, actually, because I've seen, like, Let's Plays, and I've watched people play it, and it seems like the PC, you get a lot more...
Yeah, the portable versions seem to be not as good.
No.
I don't know if it's the Unity engine that they're using, you know, that, you know, to keep it similar across, you know, all the devices, but it's definitely not as good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I saw the Slender Man behind me, and my screen got all fuzzy and stuff, and I just turned around and looked at him, and, like, it didn't end the game or anything, so just sitting there staring at him, so I was like, well, that isn't really that scary. But, I mean, I paid 99 cents for it. I definitely...
Yeah, you really can't complain for 99 cents.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fun to go back and play when I'm looking for a
scary game. Did you play that with headphones, or did you just play it off the speaker?
I didn't. I played it off the speaker, and everyone, you know, it even says right when you start it up that you should play it off your headphones. So maybe that would make a difference. But
yeah, and definitely not the same caliber of game, because one's, you know, a kind of homebrew indie title versus, you know, from the big powerhouse of EA. Now, I've got, and I'll talk about this later, too, I've got Dead Space for Android. And holy crap, huge difference. They do the same thing. There's a little splash screen before it fully loads. It says, play this with headphones or else you're not going to get the full experience. And there's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's one thing, back to Bastion, I guess, I noticed there wasn't a huge difference. I didn't notice a difference at all in the gameplay. Like, I was expecting maybe a shorter version or a dumbed-down version kind of thing for the iPad, but it was exactly the same version. I mean, the only thing that was different was how you controlled. It was just touch versus, you know, using the keypad and the WASD to walk and stuff, so I was pretty impressed with that. Two more games that I've got downloaded on the iPad. Mikey Shorts, have you heard of that? Is that on
Android?
Yeah,
actually I have. No, but I did read about it. I can look right now.
It's so much fun. I think that was 99 cents too. It's like a platformer game. And it's, the levels are really short, but it encourages you to like speed run through them. So you've got to run through these concrete guys. I didn't pay attention to the story. I just kind of rushed through it. But there's these concrete guys. You've got to run into them to unlock the gates, and there's a couple gates before the last one. And so it kind of encourages you to speed rush through it to get coins to buy stuff in the shop, so, and get new levels. So it's pretty fun. I'll find myself like I'm just gonna play one level, I'll say, and next thing I know, it's like a half hour later. So I'm enjoying that game. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's not available on the Play Store.
Oh, bummer. It's fun. then the last game I downloaded is You Don't Know Jack, just because I didn't even, I know that game's, I know that game's been around for a while, but I haven't, I didn't play it until recently when I played it with you guys, you know, a year or two ago, I guess it was.
Yeah, was it that long ago on the Wii?
It was a while ago. But it's kind of fun. You can play only once a day.
There are ways to get more plays, but it's good enough for one round.
Yeah, yep, that's what I got. I got the card Amy passed on to me today for Rayman Run, Jungle Run, I think it is.
Oh, Jungle Run?
Yeah, I haven't downloaded yet, but that's a pretty good deal because it's $3, $2.99 on the App Store. I think we were talking about You Don't Know Jack.
yes.
And they cut it down. From the Wii version, it's 10 levels, and then you have like the Jack attack at the end, and this one's only 5. The iOS version's only 5 levels.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was playing it on my work phone, and I noticed that it's way cut down, and I can't believe that because they're only letting you play 5 rounds.
Okay. So, what did you get for Christmas?
It was the season of large appliances in my home. just got a new dishwasher, a new washer and dryer. that was really the big part of it. And then being the rough and tumble man that I am, I've been looking for a set of digital calipers so I can measure things. So I got those. That was very, very thoughtful. What else did I get? Digital calipers, some sweet pajama pants.
Nice.
And an Optimus Prime T-shirt.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yep. G1. Not that. Bayformers stuff. But yeah, that's about it. I treated myself to a bunch of games on Android. Let me see here. Load my. What did I get? I have a. And again, you know, like the 2012 list that I have, not everything is brand new. I ended up getting Robot Unicorn Attack, the Adult Swim game. Have you ever played that?
It's I've heard of it.
Yeah, auto-running side-scroller. You're a unicorn. And
Okay.
it's the game's consistently playing always from erasure, and that pretty much makes the whole game. Yeah, you have to jump, you have to dash. You collect fairies, and you have to dash through stars. Once, pretty much that's it. You just don't crash into a wall or anything, and then you're good.
Cool.
Yeah. Ended up picking up that. I got the new Pitfall game from Activision.
I saw that out there on
So
the iOS store as well.
it's like Mega Pitfall on steroids. Not Pitfall. It's Mega Jungle. Was it Jungle? What is that game? The Jungle Run game.
The one we were just talking about?
No. Not the Rayman one, but the original one.
Okay. Like
I
Temple
can't.
Run?
Yes,
Okay.
thank you. That's the name.
Okay.
Temple Run,
Temple
Jungle Run.
Run.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's Temple Run on steroids. It's really awesome. It's got all the same slide underneath things, jump over things, turn the corner. Very twitch game. But you also have the whip, and there are animals in the way, so you can whip snakes and other things that get in your way, and it's really cool. And it's,
Sounds hard.
oh yeah, it gets pretty
Because
hard.
I
It
suck at Temple Run. I can't even like make it around the corner, let alone get animals on my way.
You should give it a try. That one's free.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. So now that I have the name Temple Run, thank you. I ended up getting it's a game called Enborn X. It's a bullet hell shooter, side scrolling. But it's you essentially just fight bosses every single time. At least that's how it is so far while I'm playing it. I don't know what it does after, as I continue on. But some of those bosses are dang hard.
Yeah, I think that I heard someone else talking about that on another podcast. What's
It's
the name of
really
it
good.
again?
Enborn X.
I gotta see if that's on iOS. So what other games did you get?
A Neo Geo conversion, Blazing Star, another side-scrolling shooter. I only got it because I like that game. It's not like it's anything new, anything awesome. It's just it's one of my go-to games, especially when it comes to Neo Geo. That and Art of Fighting, those are like, I don't know why I like that one the most, but those are the two games I go to. Other than Metal Slug. Let's see, what else did I get? Oh, well, I was talking about it earlier, Dead Space. I ended up picking that up.
So the first one.
Actually, it's a side story. It's
Oh, okay.
yeah, it you play alongside. It's actually like Dead Space 1.5. So it's in between. It's in between the two games, but it's not like those mini games like that they have on XBL and the PSN network thing, was it PlayStation Network, where you can, it's like, try this out and, do the those weird lock picking things. Have you done those yet?
No.
No? Okay.
I haven't beat Dead Space 1 or anything yet.
Ooh,
I know.
I haven't picked up two yet because I'm going through my second run in Dead Space 1.
Well, I got two for Christmas, so that should be encouragement to go and play Dead Space 1. I've just been so busy. You'll see when we get to games we've been playing.
Awesome. Okay. I put a decent amount of time into that one. Not too much. And those that know me, I really like the Dead Space series. Even though I've not gotten into two yet, I have played two. I just don't own it. But yeah, I've put in, I think, maybe like 2 or so hours into it, and that's actually not a lot for this story. It was kind of neat because EA had a big sale through Christmas, at least on the Play Store. A lot of their stuff was 99 cents or $1.99. So I ended up picking up Dead Space, and I also picked up Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, love it. I'm a sucker for, and I talked about this on the blog too. I'm a sucker for the Need for Speed series. Really started getting into it into the GameCube when Need for Speed Underground came out. And all of them after that, I think, have been just really, really good. This is, even the tablet version is no exception. It's not free roaming like the console versions. You're not on rails, but you're on a track.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's, you know, highways and cities and things like that. But gameplay is really good. For it being tilt control, not having a gas pedal, you have a brake pedal. you know, controlling your nitrous and all that stuff. It's a pretty cool game. I definitely recommend that for
is there online with it?
Sort of. You get your Origin account.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, another account to have. It's like that.
Oh, no, then, the Origin stuff, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think it works very well. I don't know. I use it with this when playing The Sims and stuff.
Yeah, I've got one for The Sims Online. Uh-huh. The portable version. I forget what the sub-name is of that one. But you have your Origin account. And then you don't really play against anybody. You just do a lot of chest puffing. Essentially, you're racing against everybody else's time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then not necessarily, and I'll probably get into this more after this, but it's not necessarily a holiday thing that I got, but I got my Ingress invite.
Yes. Talk about this. Cause,
you want me to talk about it now?
Yeah, talk about it now. Okay. Because I want to know what it is. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know. I need to know more.
Okay. Easiest way to put it, it's a super high-tech version of geocaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it, only in the sense that you get up off your butt and you are the character in the video game and you're getting around all around town. You know, that kind of stuff. You're going to go to locations, but that's kind of where the similarities end between that and geocaching. you use a GPS, you get there, you have to, essentially, you fight for one side or the other. It's going to be the enlightened who, from what I can tell, are kind of marked as the bad guys in the game.
Okay.
Or you're the resistance. And, you know, of course, they're the good guys. So you're going to try and stop all of this invasion that's supposed to be happening through all these portal sites, which are essentially the geocaches. Uh-huh. That's what you're looking for. And so all these portals get claimed by one side or the other. So there's a faction that owns that portal, except for the one across town, which I think I'm going to get tonight. a faction owns the portal. They beef it up. They level up. The portals level up. And then, of course, the faction that doesn't own it goes and attacks it, tries to take it over. Your phone lights up like Christmas when somebody's attacking your portal. So you actually have to get up, run across town, and start defending what they're doing. what they're doing.
Can you two, like, be there at the same time?
Yeah.
I mean, where are these portals? Like, McDonald's?
Right now, no. Right now they're doing, they're rolling it out as public accessible, and that's the big thing. You know, it's, again, like geocaching. They want people to be very conscious of your surroundings. Don't be rude. Don't deface. Don't, you know, just be smart about what you're doing, and you know, if for some odd reason the location you're going to is like behind a fence or, you know, that type of thing, don't go jumping fences.
Uh-huh.
They want to avoid that. This is like most Google products. This is a beta. So they they're looking for input, they're looking for suggestions and things like that. And of course with portals, sometimes they pop them up behind places where you can't get to, so they want people to help out and say, okay, we can't get to this one, we'll take it down, we'll move it to a different place, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, what was your original question?
So where are the ones you've been to right now?
Oh, right.
Or can you not say?
Oh, I can say.
Okay.
Yeah, once you have an actual invite, there are two things that you need to do. One is get the Ingress app on your phone, And that's actually the actual game itself. That's the, you know, your divining rod. It points you in the right direction. And then the other one would be on a PC or, you know, something that's got a pretty decent web browser. That would be the Intel map, and that's based off of Google Maps itself, and you can actually take a look at where everything, all the portals are actually at. And you can see what factions kind of own that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in Midland, pretty much belly of the beast, for me at least,
mm-hmm.
It's all enlightened. I went and, what was it, Delta College.
Mm-hmm.
There's a portal right next door to them, and it's just right outside of where all of the, where it's all blanketed, because with the portals, after you beef them up, you start linking them together, and when you link them together, it creates like a shield.
So it's harder for the resistance to go and take
right.
them over. Okay.
Right, or vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's a small, here it seems to be flipping over back to the resistance. This area before I started, I was over on Reddit, and they were doing a thread on there for people that don't have invites yet. They wanted to see what their area looked like. So mm-hmm. I put in a request for pretty much all these areas and my hometown. And a lot of it was very controlled by the Enlightened. But just, I don't know, just right around New Year's, it started flipping over.
So how long's it been going on?
I want to say November, just like right before December. Yeah.
And it's Android exclusive right now?
For now. There are talks of putting it on iOS. I don't know what they're going to do. It's been all rumor. Mm-hmm. It would be cool if we can get an expansion of, you know, of players. But the thing is, right now, it's still very beta. It's not like Gmail beta. Mm-hmm. It's very beta. So, you know, it's best that they probably get all of the bugs out. What they said is they do have an end game to this, so it actually is going to end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they said they're going to do it for about a year and a half. They said 18 months. I heard it on a podcast, and I read it on one of their official blogs. So once it comes out of beta, they're going to run it for a year and a half. And you know, on the business side of Google, hopefully by that time they'll have all the data that they need that they've mined off of all their players.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, hopefully it's going to be something big happens at the end, which is going to be pretty cool.
It sounds awesome. I wish I could do it.
I'm digging it. It's only my second day, really, of being an active agent, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. So, did you see the list on Amazon? They announced their top 20 games for 2012.
Yeah, I did. I caught that. There's some strange titles in there. There's some.
I know a lot. Some of the games I haven't even heard of.
Yeah, but you know, apparently when you're looking at, what was it, number 12? No, not number 12. That's number 9. Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
Weird name.
We were talking about that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Either. And I'm gonna look here because this is their how we selected our top 20 games.
Do they have a list of how they did it?
Yeah, it says how they did it. It's, you know, after E3, big creation of our own best at 2012. We started with all of 2012 and narrowed it down throughout the year as we evaluated gameplay. They relied on Amazon reviews.
Oh, here it is, yeah.
Yeah, and opinions of the customers, so.
So they went by star ratings and how adamant people were. Okay.
Yeah, and it looks like they let the public kind of decide. They had a knockout round, and gamers ranked the remaining titles after they got it knocked down to 40. So. So on there, I guess number one is the Journey Collector's Edition. Did you see that? I'm excited.
Yeah,
love Journey.
That's impressive. You know, I mean, I never really got to play it, but mm-hmm. Watching it at your place, it was, it's art. It is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you come up for Snowdrift, I'll bring the PS3 so you can really see it. You know, when it
That's
first came
cool.
out, I think it's just amazing that what started out as a download-only title on PSN came out in like March, and then they released a physical release the second half of the year, and that made it to number one. I just think that's pretty cool.
Indie and DLC kind of games like that have really made a mark, and that makes me happy. That kind of that makes me look forward to the future of gaming, especially with the rumors of physical media going away. That's if they're gonna give quality titles like this that much praise now, then hopefully it's not gonna be crappy then. Later on in the future.
I guess not surprisingly, I didn't watch the VGAs, but I kind of got the gist of what happened. But Borderlands 2 was their number 2
Yeah.
on their
Big
list,
fan
and
favorite of that night.
yeah, I didn't play it. You know, I played Borderlands 1, and it was fun. But I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it. I bought it, and I like playing it occasionally with other people. But I never finished the campaign, and it's not my type of game in general. You know, I'm not huge into
Well,
the
you're.
shooters,
Yeah, I
but
was gonna say you're not big into FPSs.
yeah. But it's fun. It is fun, especially the
Yeah.
multiplayer. And I will probably eventually someday play Borderlands 2, but not
Yeah.
right now. But number three, we don't have to go through the whole list, but number three was
Yeah.
XCOM.
I was gonna say you gotta talk about
Yeah,
XCOM because you
I
got it.
do. Yeah, I loved XCOM. I finally beat it, by the
Oh, you
way.
did?
I
Oh,
did.
cool.
Yep. Before Christmas. So
Nice.
right after I got out of school, finally beat it. I was so happy. The ending was super hard. I mean, I had to go through it. I mean, the whole game I think was hard, and I ended up switching my difficulty level halfway through. Well, I had to start a new game. I was playing on just the normal, so I ended up switching it down to easy, which I'm a little embarrassed, but I think for my first time through, my first time playing a game like that, it was fun. You know, I mean, it was good to go down to easy, and it let me finish the game. I think if I would have kept going, I would have just never finished. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was
So
gonna
now I'm
say,
gonna go back.
I was gonna say, did you start over because you pulled a Skyrim,
No,
but no,
no.
you just had to switch.
I just had to switch. Yeah. Yeah, on Skyrim, I don't think I ever said that. I was playing that last year, I guess about this time, and I had a character, you know, I was like 40 hours into it, and I wanted to create a new save file just to experiment with like a different class. And I accidentally saved over my other save file, so I had
That
to
totally
start over.
sucks.
And then in the second save file, I put in like 120 hours. So when you add that up, I had close to 200 hours in that game, which is crazy.
Well, at least at that point, the only person you have to blame is yourself.
Yeah.
What game was that?
Well, my platinum trophy was worth
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
it.
Now, I was playing a game on the Wii, and Gabrielle ended up started. She started to play, and then she saved over. Oh, it was Dead Rising. Yeah, I was a few hours into
That's
the
a good
game.
game.
Yeah, I was a few hours into the game, and then she started playing. And then she saved over my save.
Oh
I was so pissed.
no. That game doesn't take a terribly long time though. It's been
No.
a long time since I played that. I played that when I first got my Wii.
Yeah, but I mean, you can imagine though. I'm a few hours in, like maybe 4 or 5 hours. So that's a good chunk of the game.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah, I was not happy.
Yeah.
So I, in terms of the lineup for the at least the top three, that's with the fact that they crowdsourced it for the list, it's pretty on par with, I guess, like the VGAs and all the rest of the lists that are out there right now.
Yeah, I see The Walking Dead's number 6 on their list. The physical release of that. I see Dishonored is number 4. I'm only going to mention it just because I heard like a lot of good things about that game.
Yeah, me too.
It's done by Bethesda, right?
Yes.
Or at least published by them.
Right, yeah.
It's like a stealth kind of game. It seems really interesting.
First person, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard it's pretty short, too.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. But I don't know much about it. I've just heard that people are really enjoying it, so I might have to check that out someday.
Funny story, speaking of the song. Do you ever watch the Rooster Teeth guys on YouTube?
Nope.
Yeah, okay. They did the original Red versus Blue stuff. Well, actually, they still do Red versus Blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Halo show that they started?
Not familiar with it.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought everybody knew about Red versus Blue. Okay. Well, there's that. I don't find it that funny. It is a cult hit. I just don't get it because I'm not into Halo. Not a big deal. But they have other shows they do. All of the stuff they do actually is underneath the Achievement Hunter name.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a separate show called Things to Do. And they did one on Dishonored. And all the stuff they do is usually pretty funny, sometimes raunchy. I mean, it's a bunch of guys being dorks and doing stuff in the games that they're not supposed to be doing. But it was never, you know, never intended to do.
Yeah.
But in Dishonored, they did something called something like Disco Dance Party. I can't remember the full title. But there's this spot where you come in off the map, and then there's these barrels and then like a walkway right above them. And after you kill guys, you can take them and jam them in between. And because there's no space for the character model to fully be there between the barrels and the walkway on top, they start glitching out really bad and twisting and doing all these things. And they take all these bodies and jam them in there. They're just having a little dance party in there. It's pretty funny. These things they figure out in the games.
Mm-hmm.
But be aware. 99% of the stuff they do is pretty much not safe for work.
So. Yeah. Well, I guess in the game you can transform into animals. I guess if you level up that ability, like you can take over. Yeah, you can like take over a fish or a rat or whatever, way you can. Yeah, you can go undetected, and you know you can get through smaller places, and it seems pretty cool.
I'll have to take a look at that then.
Yeah. Anything else on there you feel like mentioning? I mean, it's yours, Diablo 3, and, you know, all the big releases that came out this year, Halo 4, Mass Effect 3.
Sleeping Dogs, Assassin's Creed 3.
I see the last story. What'd you say?
Well, a puzzle game actually made it on there. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Luminous.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. For the Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need for Speed, that's really the only thing that I want to talk about, but it's, you know, they're the big console versions, so I really don't have first hand on it yet.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I've heard people talk about the AI being super difficult in that game, like the cops and stuff just automatically appear.
Yeah, it's pretty bad in the tablet version too, in the Android version. They'll do that pin maneuver on you. Well, they'll push the back corner of your car to spin you out. Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of crazy things in that game.
Yeah. I see the Last Story is on there, too, for the Wii. That got pretty good reviews.
I don't know anything about that game.
Well, I know it's an RPG.
Yeah, the cover looks like it is.
Yeah, I mean, similar to, like, Xenoblade Chronicles or something like that. I mean, that's what people compare it to, but I don't know.
Oh, it's imported by Xseed. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know probably any more than you do about it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and it's a decent price. So I might pick it up. I generally am a fan of RPGs, and even the Japanese ones I find pretty fun. So.
Yeah. I'm reading the review right now on Amazon. And
yeah,
those are big names in RPGs. Oh, maybe I will have to get this.
Speaking of that, I've been trying to get a copy of Xenoblade Chronicles just because I've wanted it for a while, and then so I'm like, well, I'm going to go get it. I saw it at a GameStop in Traverse City, and it's a GameStop exclusive, so it's like crazy expensive to find, you know, outside of the store.
I'm looking at the Amazon price here.
Yeah, it's like $130 or something. Yeah. But if you can get it, you know, at a GameStop, it's the $49.99. But
yeah, good luck, though. I mean, if it's that hard to get out,
it is. Yep. So I was unsuccessful in finding it this past weekend. I was at there's two GameStop locations in Traverse City, so I went to both of those, and I called the Petoskey store. Didn't have it. The Cadillac store had it, but I was not going to drive to Cadillac to get
it.
Yeah,
that's a haul for where you're at.
So. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, their system said they had it, so, you know, I could get there and then have it not be there.
Yeah, the system says it has it, and they only have one copy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wasn't going to waste 2 hours to drive down there, so.
Yeah, no thanks.
But maybe someday I'll get my hands on a copy.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good one to get your hands on. Even the original versions of Xenoblade that's a good game.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of top lists, we each put out a top 10 of in 2012, I suppose.
Right.
I wish I could go back in time and do what you did, because I was researching. I'm like, okay, what of the games I played came out this year? Because, you know, Skyrim definitely would have been on my list again. I know it was on my list last year, but I spent so much time playing it earlier this year to get the platinum trophy.
How can that not be on your list, especially because of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't come out this year, so that's why I didn't put it on there. Yeah. I guess I was getting too technical with it.
Yeah. Oh, I had to go that direction on mine because, well, I'm behind the times.
So talk about yours a little bit. Your top 10. Yeah.
All right. Hold on. I'm bringing it back up.
Okay. I'll talk about mine while you're bringing it up.
My socks off. All right.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say my number one I put is XCOM. Just in hours alone from the games that were released this year, I probably put the most hours into that game.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it. I have every intention of going back and playing it on the more difficult mode, and I definitely want to play the multiplayer too, because I've heard the multiplayer is awesome. When you play, you get to choose whether you play as the humans or the aliens, and I guess it's super fun to play as the aliens, so I want to do that at some point.
Oh, cool. Dead Space I talked about already. It's both the 360 and the Android version. I can't believe I wrote that on there about spilling the jug of milk. That was kind of weird. Let's see, number 9 was Need for Speed. Happy Wars. I've talked about that one in past episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But those that don't know about that game, 15 on 15, just really cute squish guys. You're sort of medieval, I guess. but it's just a big, big hilarious game of capture the flag, and the big kicker is that it's actually a free to play game on XBL. So that's pretty far and few. You know, Microsoft doesn't give anything away for free.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was lucky enough to get into the dashboard beta at the end of the fall, and it was just a nice extra gift that they gave out at the same time. Let's see, my number 7, Left 4 Dead 2.
Such a fun game. I love that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that game. And, you know, I still have yet to get any of the DLC, especially the new maps. What's that one where you have to get it in order for you to play some of the expansions?
Oh, yeah. I'd have to pull up my Steam.
Yeah.
The
Parish is the one that's like, the fourth episode, but it's here. But yeah, I still haven't gotten any of those, and I still go back and I play online, and it's, the game's just weird but hilarious.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's fun. It's just flat out fun. If you're into horror movies and zombie movies, you always wanted to be in a zombie movie. That's the next closest thing.
Yeah, and I'm not big into shooters, but I just have so much fun. I bought it on Steam when they had one of their sales. I guess it was last year, maybe.
That $4.99 sale or whatever.
Yeah, I got it for $4.99. I got Left 4 Dead 1, Left 4 Dead 2, and the expansions and stuff. So
cool.
It was pretty awesome deal, and I love playing it though, even though it's not my normal type of game I would play. So.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And then my number 6, Gears of War, the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't just pick one of those. I mean, it's just the ongoing story. It just keeps building up and building up and building up. And, again, it's not the kind of game that you would play But if you're into a good story, I would definitely suggest it.
Everyone suggests it.
Yeah, if you ever get around to getting a 360, or you're just with a 360 for a very long amount of time.
like if I break into your house sometime.
Right, yeah. But yeah, definitely play all three. You know, it's not like that world-destroying moment, and it's going to be a spoiler alert here, that where Sephiroth hops in and kills a very main character in Final Fantasy VII. But, man, you're not going to sit there and, like, sob over the death of a character in a game, but there are points where you're just, wow, I did not expect that to happen in the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and if you're into shooters, that just makes it that much better.
Yeah.
Sounds cool. Number five, one of the biggest things, my number five at least, that whole anniversary game that they gave away for free, that Capcom gave away, Street Fighter Cross Mega Man. Did you ever get a chance to play it?
I have not played it, but I've heard about it. It sounds really cool.
It's really good. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the game mechanics behind Mega Man. When you start a round, when they throw something new in, they kind of force you into learning about how to avoid the new danger by not making it obvious. It's really sneaky that way, that you're learning how to play the game in the next level by doing that. Like sometimes, like you'll start a new level, and this new enemy will come on the screen and drop something. Then you're gonna go, oh, well. Going to drop something, so you figure out that stuff's getting dropped. Then you go to a next section, stuff's dropping from the ceiling, but now there are gaps in the floor, so then you have to try and figure out at that point. So it slowly progresses. This version of Mega Man, even though it's a fan-made project, has that kind of intro progression just for each individual level. The level design is really well thought out. The game plays like a real Mega Man game. Even when you jump and the screen shifts from, you know, left to right, or right to left, I mean, you know, he still hops in the air, he stays there, stuff moves the way it does in, like, an original 8-bit Mega Man games. It's, this guy's got it figured out. It's really cool. Yeah,
and the boss is like a character. Each boss is like a character from Street Fighter, right?
Yep.
Pretty
yep.
cool.
And here's the next cool thing. When you get to the boss, they have a super meter. And so the more moves they do, like in Street Fighter, the more their super meter builds up. And then they can either do an EX move. So this is kind of Street Fighter 4-ish. And they'll do their EX move, which does a little bit extra damage. And then if it's all the way up, they can do a super. When they do a super, it zooms in like in Street Fighter 4. And then they unleash their super move. But it's all in 8-bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. You gotta play it. It's really cool.
Can you get it on Mac?
Probably if you do like a, what is that, crossover or what's the other Mac, the big Mac thing on how to play Windows games?
I don't know, I don't do it. If it doesn't have a little Mac symbol next to it in Steam or whatever,
I don't
download it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll bring my my Windows machine, and we can play it.
When All right, we're up sounds in for good.
Snowdrift.
We're just going to be, like, playing video games the whole Snowdrift weekend.
Yeah. I got to see some cars race. Yeah. Final Fantasy XIII is still kicking my butt.
Oh, yeah, isn't it hard?
Yeah. I can't remember. Did you say you actually finished the game?
No.
No, okay.
I'm very close. Well, I didn't. I was very close to the end. I got Final Fantasy XIII 2, whipped it in, so I kind of know what happened. Yeah.
Did you ever end up fighting Cid?
I think so. Go on.
Well, the thing is, I can't say necessarily it's in this disc or this disc, because you've got the PS3 version, which is on a Blu-ray, and it's all on one disc, so...
Yeah.
I think I may have screwed myself in my character progression, applying all my different levels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, were you, like, applying it all to one person?
No, I was only taking really one path, and I just got to the point where I can start branching out to other abilities, and I stayed on the ones that they originally came with.
Okay. Yeah. So you didn't.
I'm trying to max them out, and because I want to get that, I want to get that achievement. And I think because I was so focused on doing that, that I'm missing what some of my other characters need to be able to do in order to beat Cid.
Yeah, because I think, like, Lightning is a Ravager, right? That's what she starts out as, or
Ravager or Commando, yeah.
Or Commando, but really, she's, you know, a good healer. In some of the parties,
she's a really good medic.
Yeah, in some of the parties that they put her in, you know, because you don't get to pick for quite a while into the game, you have to use her as a medic for a lot of the situations, so.
You do have to
ration that out, kind of, instead of putting it all into one category.
Yeah, I think I may have backed myself into a corner, and I'm going to be really upset because I've been trying to play the game only on one save. So I'm over 24, 25 hours in.
Okay, yeah. See, so, I must have played Cid then. I don't know why I can't think of who that person is. It's been so long since I played. But I'm at least in the mid-30s, you know, as far as hours go. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, fun game. Yeah. I should probably go back to it.
it's definitely good. And Meyer has 13.2 on sale right now. Well, it's on their clearance bin permanently now.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably like $17, so
it whips
that's kind
down.
Of my motivation to beat 13, and I'll go out and buy that once that's done. Hopefully they don't clear it off their shelves.
That one went down in price so fast.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. I got the collector's edition, Final Fantasy 13-2, with the soundtracks.
Oh, nice.
It's a pretty cool case that it comes in. And it's not one of those huge clunky ones like the Skyrim Collector's Edition, which is absolutely ginormous.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's because it's got that big dragon in it, too.
Yeah, it's in the top of my closet now. I had it on display in my room forever, and I'm like, I had to put this thing away.
Yeah.
It's taking up too much room.
It's all pointy.
What's your number three?
My number three, because I am a G1 snob, and like I said in my post, it's comfort food for me. It really is. Transformers, both follow War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. They're just so good. You know, if there's anything you can take away from like the game mechanics and the good things about the game mechanics in Gears of War, and applying it to my childhood, essentially, this is it. The game plays excellent, and it's everything that my inner child says. This is what Transformers was like back then, the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me giddy. Yeah, I'm a little kid there.
Cool.
And then, I guess that's my number two is a little bit different now because my number two ended up on the list because of all the hype. And I couldn't play it at that point, but now I'm playing it. So, yeah, Ingress. We covered that a little while ago. So. Yeah, but the game is cool. The game is cool. My number one. Everybody knows my number one is.
Yeah. I would have been surprised if it was anything but. Yeah.
Well, it could have been Transformers.
Mm-hmm. It
but it's Minecraft.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Minecraft. The majority of my time logged on Raptor is so Minecraft. And I know it's not anywhere near as good as the PC version. It's getting there, but it's still so good. You know, having the split screen option, you know, having actually people with you while you're playing, instead of doing, you know, like a separate PC if you're playing a LAN party, or of course, you know, just logging onto a server, you know, I like that. The controls are dream. I've got friends that have both the PC version and the 360 version, and they say that they like the 360 controls so much better.
Yeah, I can imagine that. The WASD keys and stuff are just, I don't know.
It's traditional.
It is.
Yeah.
It hurts my wrist after a while, though. You know, you can only play for so long. It's not as comfortable, I would imagine, as, you know, holding the 360 controller would
right.
be.
Yeah. And, I mean, regardless, if it's, you know, Minecraft or the 360 edition, it just sucks you in. You got a text.
I did. It came through on my iPad. Because my whole family has iPhones, all the iMessages come through on my iPad, so like uh-huh. I put my phone on vibrate, I swear, but there my iPad goes off next to me.
Nice.
Go ahead.
What's that?
I was just going to say that my mom texting me. The little kitty she's been fostering got adopted.
Aww.
So, yeah, he's cute. It's okay, sorry.
No, that's fine. But yeah, Minecraft, again, for those that don't know, man, huge, huge progression from just the straight vanilla version to what we've got now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing that they've done this. It's good.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little jealous that I can't play with you guys. I was thinking, I was asking my brother, I was like, you'd think if I download the iOS version of Minecraft, which sucks, by the way.
Pocket Edition is terrible.
Yeah, I was like, maybe platforms. If I download it, then I can play with the Xbox people. And he's like, no, I don't think you can.
It doesn't work cross-platform like that.
Bummer.
I was actually looking, and Notch actually isn't fully in charge of Minecraft anymore. But the other guy, Jeb, or Jens, he goes by both names, I guess in New Year's Eve, he put up a Twitter that said, I guess the only thing the world needs now is a version on the PS3, and that's all he left it at.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I don't know if he was like, we can't do it, because they have licensing agreements with Microsoft right now, but or he's saying something's on the horizon. I don't know. I hate to start rumors like that, but fact of the matter is, that was posted. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of things that were posted, and unfortunately, you weren't available that night, Minecraft documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it was so good.
So who was able to watch it with you?
A couple of people that I had no clue who they were. They
really?
Just saw the posting. Yep, they saw the posting, and then they were Xbox owners. So there wasn't a lot of talk because everybody was just sucked into watching it. But every now and then it was like, oh, really? Wow, I never knew that kind of thing. So it was an interesting experiment in, you know, getting everybody to come together to watch it. But, man, this documentary spans, I don't know, a couple of years. They didn't do anything about the 360 version except for, I think when they cut off, before they started doing, like, post-production stuff, is right when they were starting to do the release for it. So the only thing you really see about the 360 version is, like, pop materials, and they had a big logo, like, on that picture that I always use for the 360 version.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they didn't really talk about it other than that it's coming out. So, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. With the documentary itself, what I was really hoping for is to not necessarily know more about Notch or, you know, how they, how Mojang got together, but how the game really started to progress on its own in different ways, like how people were using it in ways they never intended, you know, kind of like how I was joking about the Rooster Teeth guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a, I don't really want to fully ruin it for you because you haven't seen it yet.
Well, do you think I haven't seen or heard anything about it, but do you think that they intended for people to get so creative with it? you know.
I don't think they did, and that's where the major success is coming.
Yeah.
Not with like the massive builds that people do, you know, with somebody built Hogwarts completely. Mm-hmm. That's on. I found that on YouTube a few weeks ago. But one person in particular that really caught my attention, that's in the documentary, the teacher in New York, and he used it as a learning tool with kids. How to get them to work together. There's a section there where he says, I'm going to split you all into groups, and you all have different sets of materials. I'll go build a house. And then they went and did it. And it's, even though it's, you know, virtual and that type of thing, it really helped develop, from what I got out of it, it helped develop, you know, what the social skills that may not be easily tapped into if they're just kids in their own little cliques. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have to watch it. How long is it? Is it like standard length?
It's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think it went, let's see, one. Playing it back in my head. Started at, what, 8 o'clock here? Yeah, I think it was 10 o'clock. So it was about 2 hours.
Yeah, I really, really wanted to go. Of course, the story is we got this huge snowstorm, you know, like 13 inches of snow, knocked down all the trees onto the power lines, and we were without power for 2.5 days. So it was quite a bummer. But
yeah, I was really hoping that you'd be able to join in.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I was going to go to the clubhouse, you know, the lodge up there,
yeah.
But they didn't have power either. I mean, it was, or internet, they had power, but no internet. So, oh, well, I'll get to it sometime.
Yeah. Well, no biggie. Kind of like what I posted in my number one there. The company that actually did the documentary, Two Player Productions, I would think it was like a day or two before the Xbox release that they did. They leaked it themselves onto Pirate Bay.
Oh.
Yep. And it's really kind of cool. I mean, they said, we know this is going to end up on Pirate Bay anyway, so here. And all it says at the bottom is, if you like it, please buy it. You know, there's a little scroller thing that goes at the bottom every now and then. But it's not dumbed down. It's not... it's not an abridged version. There's no, there's nothing really different on it other than that scrolling bit at the bottom, and the resolution is really good too. You know, they actually uploaded the full HD copy.
Hmm.
So, yep.
That's cool.
Once again, something else we'll have to do on Snowdrift Weekend.
Yeah, when is it going to be out for sale? Did they say?
It went the day after.
Oh.
After the Xbox viewing party.
Okay.
Yep. There. If you want to get the DRM-free digital download version, it's only $8. You can get it on pretty much any format that you want. If you want it on DVD, it's
$20. Okay.
Yep. I got links on that in the that post too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, darn it! That's not the right one.
Oh, okay.
There's two drum icons. All right. I was doing that to segue, I guess, into our next topic.
That works.
All right. So we wanted to talk about where we find our modern games, because I'm guessing most of the people that listen to this are from the area, you know, that I've followed you and John for quite a while. So.
Right, right.
I thought it'd be cool to talk about where we get our modern games, where we get our retro games, like some of our collecting resources, you know, where we go to complete our collection.
Well, so I think one thing that we have in common, all of us, I mean, we hit up like antique shops and more so like garage sales, you know, mm-hmm. case in point, your 5200 find. That
yeah.
was sweet.
Yes, that was at a flea market.
Oh, that was a flea market? I thought it was a garage sale.
No, it was a flea market.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, flea markets, definitely.
So
those are one of the big deals right there.
I want to go to more. You know, I don't know very many. There's that one in Mayo, which is where I found mine. There was actually this guy in there who had he had a whole bunch of video games and VHSs, DVDs, records, comic books, like just a whole bunch of cool stuff. And I asked him, you know, like, if he owned a store at one point or where he got all of this stuff, and he just said people trade it with him, and he's got some coins and stuff too, but I'd like to find more flea markets where I can get some stuff like that, because I just, there's nothing more exciting than finding something out in the wild, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I guess for my retro games, I go to Game Exchange in Midland, which it's a very small, you've been in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a
very small shop.
That's no bigger than this room I'm in.
It's extremely small, and they have the strangest hours. I mean, they're open from, like, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
So occasionally I'll go there on my lunch hour, and you can find some good stuff in there. Like, that's where my brother got his Virtual Boy for, like, $65, and it came with 3 or 4 games.
That's a pretty good deal. I mean,
yeah,
it's a Virtual Boy, but, you know.
And if you pay in cash, they don't charge you tax. I don't know if I...
Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but they don't.
That's going to go like a shockwave across the U.S.
Well, I got just recently, I don't know that I mentioned this, but I got Pure Solar, or not Pure Solar, oh my God, Lunar Silver Story.
Pure Solar.
I did not. Well, I did kind of. I'll mention
it. Yeah, but we'll talk about it in a second. Yeah,
yeah. I meant Lunar Silver Star Story for the PS1.
Okay, I was going to say which version.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yep. You got the PS version.
Yep. So I'm pretty excited to jump into that. I'm pretty sure I can play that through my PS2 Slim. So
probably, yeah.
I think you can. I got that hooked up, so that's probably second on my list of games I'm going to play. But I'm super excited about that. But I also go to Game Traders in Midland. I used to go there all the time. Like, I'm talking a couple times a week. But I don't go there as much anymore. They don't have a lot of stuff, like, in the box and in really good condition. You know, if you wanted something for your collection, a lot of loose stuff, you know, Sharpie all over it and things like that.
You never ended up picking up that Skylanders when I called you, did you?
Mm-mm. I decided not to get into Skylanders. Yeah, I really wanted to, but the way it's exploded, like, to be able to collect a lot of the figurines and stuff, well, first of all, I don't have any room, but, you know, second of all, it's a huge investment, you know, money-wise.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not even going to get into it, and then I won't spend all that money on it.
Yeah, my brother's daughters, my nieces, for Christmas ended up getting Skylanders because their dad's got a PS3,
mm-hmm.
And I just looked at them like, where's my Skylanders?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say if someone gave it to me, I would say no. I just don't want to spend the money on it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Another good place is... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, for you, it seems kind of like the natural progression, because you're so into Pokemon that... You know, it's almost like being a real
Pokemon master?
Yes, that's the word, master.
Trainer? Master? Trainer, yeah. Sure.
You can open your own gym.
Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, another good place that is fairly recent in Midland is the Game On.
I think it's huge.
It's big, and they always have, you know, stuff that's in really good condition. Like, first of all, they've got a huge collection of, like, boxed Sega Genesis. I mean, it's not
actually,
that hard
I was
to
say
find
the
those.
Same thing. Yeah, they have they're not only is the collection big in box, I mean, their quality is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and cheap, too. I mean, I know the clamshell mm-hmm. stuff that the Genesis comes in is a lot easier to... It's harder to wear down, like, the cardboard and stuff that the other games came in. But, you know, like, I got Mortal Kombat for the Super Nintendo, like, in the box. I mean, perfect. Like, I don't even know that anyone's ever opened it. I mean, it's not sealed or anything, but it looks really good. And,
You can smell the 90s when you open it.
Yeah. And I got, like, WarioWare Twisted in the box. I mean, it looks like it's in perfect condition. Yeah, I mean, just, like, really, really nice condition stuff that they have in there. It's priced pretty fairly, too.
Yeah.
They've got some new games in there, actually. I see they have new 3DS games.
That was weird, because their original Saginaw location, they, you know, they were just doing pre-owned stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they started expanding... they started getting into to new things, new accessories, and then they started getting actually new games.
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's nice to have a place to go to besides GameStop.
Game what?
So, GameStop.
Oh, you said it again.
I did. And I, in Midland, I have not been successful at, like, the Goodwill and Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I'm in Traverse City and stuff, I've found Carmen Sandiego for the PC, which, I mean, I can't even play because it's, like, for Windows 95 or something, because I don't even have a machine that runs that. But I bought it just for nostalgic reasons, I guess, because right. I used to play that game all the time. But I found that for, you know, a buck or two, and I found a bunch of PS1s at the Goodwill in Traverse City. I mean, just, like, tons of them. I don't know if someone just took a whole lot of PS1s and dropped them off or what, but...
Yeah, maybe somebody came by my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got... I run similar lines. You know, I hit up Game Traders. I hit up Game On. Unfortunately, the one in here in town met its untimely demise, but the other two locations are still kicking it, so mm-hmm. you know, not too big of a hit. But if I really want to get into good stuff, I usually travel outside of this area. Mm-hmm. There's a place, I want to say it's Flint, but it's not. The Toy Box. Man. Other people usually drive. That's why I don't know really where it's at. I'll have
okay,
to look it up.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that place has got just amazing gear there. They've got everything. Xbox, like original Xbox, 360, PS3, PS2. The whole Sony line, the whole Microsoft line. Everything from Nintendo. Everything from Sega. Crap tons of stuff from Atari that's actually really hard to find. Like for the original mm-hmm. Atari systems, like the big yellow trackball thing.
Oh, okay.
They had four of those when I was there. Like every single flavor of the PSP, all that kind of stuff there. It kind of cuts it short with the way I said it because, you know, I did it by company, but there really is a lot of stuff there. Original Nintendo stuff. They know their stuff there too. your pirate hat's awesome. And a monocle. but yeah, they know their stuff there, they know what's going on. And it's a very cool place. Definitely a place to check out if you ever have a chance.
Yeah, sounds cool. There's not very many good places around here, I've found.
No. And the ones that are here, I mean, it's for what they are, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. You know, if you travel outside of this area, there are a lot better.
So, I have to tell you about this. I don't think I told you this story. Maybe I did. So, I'm searching Craigslist, because every so often I'll go on Craigslist and look for used video games
mm-hmm.
in systems and stuff like that. And I saw this post. It was like, you know, new place to buy video games in the area. And so I click on it, and I'm like, all right. And they're listing all this stuff. They're like, box Virtual Boy games, you know, for like $5 to $10, box Sega Master System for $60, all Atari, $1, all the Atari games, no matter what title, $1.
Some guy's trunk?
What is Well, here's the story. There's an address. It says like 120. I remember it. I still remember the address. People can go there. It's like 120 South Washington Street. So, you know, just... like, not far from where you used to work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just down south a little bit by the pub. And I go down there one day and can't find this place at all. Like, there's no sign. I find 120 South Washington. It's a barber shop. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. So I drive home and I look up the ad again because I'm like, I really want these freaking Virtual Boy games.
Really?
And so I look up the ad. It says right next to the barbershop. So they can, okay. So the next day I drive down there and I see the place. It looks real shady. I mean, no sign. There's like an open sign, you know, that flashes. But they were closed. And I saw some guy in there. And it was like 12:30. I mean, I went on my lunch hour from work. I drove all the way to Bay City. So I'm like shaking on the door handle. The guy just like looks at me and just turned around. So I was like, F you. And I got back in my car and I drove to work and I said, I'm done with this place. But I wasn't because I really wanted those Virtual Boy games. So I sent the guy an email from Craigslist and I said, yo, what are your hours? Because I was there at 12:30 yesterday, like prime time, and you weren't open. And so he emailed me, he's like, oh, we were supposed to be, but we were moving some stuff around. And so I went by the next day. They were open. There was no one in the store except this creepy guy who works there. And it was super shady. They had, like, all their stuff laid out. And they did have some Box Virtual Boy games, and I wanted to get them. And I walked up to check out, and the guy just had a computer, a laptop. And I didn't have enough cash for it. And he's like, oh, we only take cash. And I was like, dude, this place is super shady. So I just left the games. I never went back. But if you guys know, there's this random hole in the wall on South Washington that has video games if you got cash. Yeah. I just thought it was super strange. 3 days in a row I went there for nothing. And it's not like it's a short drive.
You'd think that they would kind of get the hint. You know, it's... You're not just some girl. You play games, yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It's like, I don't know. It just seems shady to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So what about modern games?
Modern games?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do I go to get them?
Yeah, like your Xbox games. You don't download them all, do you?
Well... No, well, not normally. No,
I'll tell you right now. I get all mine off Amazon.
I usually go and get mine from, well, like the local shops.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're usually, like I've always said, I play more catch up than anything else. I mean,
yeah.
I still don't have PS3. Like,
yeah, it's not like you go buy games brand new kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the only newest brand new game that I've gotten. And actually, it's still pretty brand new. I just got, and I called you that night, too. I just got Doom 3 BFG Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that was just released almost 2 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I actually bought that retail. The only reason why I did that is because I had a gift card. So.
Yeah, I bought, I typically wait till they drop in price, but... You know, I buy, like, my PS3 games off Amazon almost all the time. Because, you know, I got Dark Souls for $15 mm-hmm. bucks off there. And that just came out last year. I got...
Yeah.
I got Eco for, like, $9 or $10 or whatever. Eco Shadow of the Colossus Collection.
Right.
Ratchet and Clank Collection for, like, $15. I was cleaning house there on Black Friday.
I can't believe you did stuff on Black Friday.
Well, I didn't. I was online. I didn't go. I was shopping on Amazon.
That's Cyber Monday stuff.
No, but I did it on Black Friday. They had a bunch of sales. So occasionally I'll order directly from like the publisher website, like Namco. That's where I ordered my Ni No Kuni Wizards Edition or pre-ordered it.
You did get it, huh?
No, it comes out the 22nd.
Well, I mean, well, you pre-ordered it.
Yeah. I had to pre-order back in August. They had a short period of time, I think it was like maybe just the month of August, where mm-hmm. you could pre-order. They did, it's kind of like a Kickstarter, they call it like a Nino starter, where the number of pre-orders determined what additional items came in the package. The collector's edition came with a whole bunch of stuff, by the way. Like, it comes with a plush of Drippy, who's like your little sidekick that follows you around. Right. It came with some DLC. It came with this magic spell book, which is like what you use throughout the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like leather bound, and it looks so
it's
awesome.
Like a physical spell.
A physical book, yeah. Yep.
That's
and,
cool. You were just talking about DLC. I would like just.
Oh, it's... yep. No, DLC was like some other stuff, some special characters and stuff, I think. But okay. Then they reached their first level of pre-orders. So we all got thrown in some posters, I think, some limited edition posters, and then we did cool. reach the second level, so we got this, like, coin, this really cool coin thing, so pretty cool that there'll be some extra stuff coming with that when it comes next month. I feel like I've been waiting forever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm totally into you know, Studio Ghibli and, you know, Miyazaki mm-hmm. stuff. So the fact that there's a game essentially dedicated to just that, you know, their art style, totally makes me jealous that I don't have a PS3.
Oh my gosh, it is so awesome. Very cool. Yeah.
Just the things that I've seen in it, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well, I was playing the, I guess we can transition into games we've been playing. Okay. I guess my first one. I've been playing the demo they released a couple weeks ago on PSN for mm-hmm. the Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch game.
Right.
And so I downloaded it, and it gives you two levels that you can play through. The first one, you're kind of a low level, I think like level, I don't know, 7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing you've got to do, though, is a boss battle, which is kind of...
That's weird.
It kind of stinks, yeah, because you don't have any mini battles at all before that. So you just walk... First of all, you walk around and you see the beautiful, you know, graphics and stuff, and then you walk into this boss battle, and the battle mechanics are, like, way more complicated than I thought they were going to be. I was talking to E-Rock about this, because he did not enjoy the demo. He downloaded it and was talking about how hard he thought it was. He didn't like it. Something like that. He didn't like it. So... Anyway, I recommended you play the other level that they give you, which are higher level, and you start off and you get to do some random battle encounters, like, you know, when you're walking around and Pokemon and a little exclamation point pops up over an animal's head or whatever. It's just like that. And then you go into the battle, and you can battle with yourself. You can battle with, like, this little guy who I'm not sure what his purpose is yet. Or if you've got other team members, they can all battle as well. And it's kind of like Final Fantasy 13, where you've got a little meter, so you've got to let stuff build up. And then you can defend yourself from attacks, and you can do magic attacks. You can drink potions. But it's a lot more complex than I thought it was going to be. So, but it's really fun. The downside is the demo only give you 25-minute time limit. Weird. So after 25 minutes, it just, like, shut off for both levels. So, you can replay it, though. But
yeah, but, I mean, if they're limiting you to, like, a boss battle, mm-hmm. why limit the time?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, my boss battle, when I first started, I started on that one. The boss battle took me, you know, like, 12 or 13 minutes of my 25 minutes because I kept dying. It was taking me a long time to figure out how to, and I can see how that would be frustrating for someone who doesn't know anything about Studio Ghibli or, you know, like, if they're just going into this game thinking it's a game and they're like, oh, I'm dying in the demo every time. You know, I could see how that could be frustrating, but
yeah,
it was pretty fun. I guess beyond that, I already talked about XCOM. I beat it. Yay. Right. I'm going to go back and play it on harder difficulty. I guess they have this Iron Man type mode, impossible difficulty or something that everyone says you have to play it on. Well, I haven't even unlocked it yet, so I'll have to do that.
Jeez.
I also popped back in Lord of the Rings, War in the North, which... I've been meaning to write a review on it on the blog, but it's such a fun game. Like, I know it got horrible reviews. I know most of the Lord of the Rings games, at least for the PS3, they suck. Like, there's no other way to put it.
From what I've seen, I'm not impressed.
No, they're not impressive, but this one is just, I think it's a lot of fun. It's like an RPG. It's a side story to the Lord of the Rings where... you're kind of fighting off, you're kind of like clearing the path, I guess, for Frodo, I guess is what you're doing. But it's really glitchy, and so my first playthrough, I was really far, and it just glitched out on me, and it wouldn't let me progress anymore. I couldn't restart, I couldn't load a previous chapter, so it was super frustrating, so I started over. I'm a new character now, I'm like level 12, so I'm just playing through that again. I still think it's fun, even though it's glitchy as crap. I played a little bit more Nintendo Land. That game's fun, but I'm disappointed I can't play. Well, I can now because my brother has a Wii U, but I can't play a lot of the two-player games and stuff. But Scribblenauts Unlimited. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you ever get around to playing Zombie U?
I did. I played a little bit of that. Yep. I put that as number 10 on my top 10 list.
Right.
But I think if I could go back in time, I would put Scribblenauts on there.
Okay.
I hadn't played it at the time, but Scribblenauts was super fun. Zombie U's fun too, but I just haven't got enough into it to, you know, justify it being there, I guess, in that slot on number 10. I mean, it was fun. I went around. You use the gamepad as kind of like a map, so you can see where you're going. And there's a couple buttons on there, so you can push to send out like a radar to detect zombies that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how they're using the gamepad, which is, it's nice because like with Scribblenauts, I didn't even look at the TV. I had the TV off like 95% of the time I was playing, but just playing it on the gamepad because there's no reason to have the TV on. So I kind of liked how Zombie U did that, where it used the gamepad pretty well, I think, at least as far as I'd played.
That's cool.
I've been playing Tokyo Jungle. I don't, nice hat there.
Thank you.
I downloaded Tokyo Jungle yesterday on PSN. It's a game that came out in Japan for PlayStation, and they did a digital release only in the U.S. on PSN. It was like $15, and I wanted it when it first came out, but I waited, and now it's on sale right now for $10, so I picked it up.
That is such a good deal.
Yeah, so this game, I have to explain. It requires a lot of explanation, actually. So
it's,
what you do...
Just from what I've seen, it's a weird game.
Oh, it's super weird. But it's totally up my alley. I love weird games. So, I mean, it probably is weirder than, you know, Katamari, in my opinion.
Really? Weirder than Katamari?
I'd say so. Well, it's strange, but it's fun. So you play as an animal. In this game, you're in Tokyo, and there's been some sort of event that has wiped out the human population. So all that's left are animals. So animals that have been domesticated become feral. Animals that were in the zoo have escaped, and they're all just wandering the streets of Tokyo, which is kind of overgrown. So there's lots of tall grass and stuff all over the place. And mm-hmm. when you start out, you have to play survival mode before you can play story mode. So there's no way to play story before you unlock it by playing survival. And I think the tagline to this game should be the same as Dark Souls, prepare to die, because you will die a lot in survival mode. You are given two options to start out when you first turn it on. You get to play as a Pomeranian, which is like a carnivore, like a meat eater. It's a dog, yeah, the little dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little yippy dog, yeah.
Yep. So you get that, or you get to play as a Sika deer, which is an herbivore. And there's advantages and disadvantages to both. So the Pomeranian, what happens in the game is you spawn in this location in Tokyo, and you have at the top of your screen a hunger bar, a life bar, and a stamina bar. Now, the scary thing about it when you start playing is that your hunger bar is constantly depleting. I mean, like, it doesn't pause at all. It's just constantly like this, like constantly going down. And when it goes down, your life bar starts going. So, like, when your hunger is all the way gone, you haven't eaten anything, your life will start depleting, and then you just die. I mean, but this can happen in the span of 2 minutes. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Huh. So you have to, if you're playing as the Pomeranian, the little dog, you've got to find animals that you can eat. And you do this by, like, attacking them. Usually hiding and sneak attacking them is better. Because if they start, they start fighting you, then you're going to lose. But, so you have to be constantly eating, but food is scarce. It's not like it's everywhere just running around, you know. It's sometimes you're really cutting it close. Like, your life, your hunger's gone, your life is almost gone, you finally find a rabbit laying there, you know. And I guess what you have to do with the deer, similar situation, but you're eating the plants. There's plants that are around, and there's only specific plants that the deer can actually eat. And the bad thing about the deer, though, was they can't fight, really. You know, they can't fight back if they're getting attacked by another animal, whereas the dog can.
Mm-hmm.
So the deers just kind of try to hide and hope they can't see you in the tall grass, which I found that they always see me. I tried to play as a deer a couple times, so I usually play as a dog. And then when you're in a certain area, there's four spots that you have to mark. I don't know what they do, pee, I guess. So you go mark these four spots while you're eating and try not to die. And once you mark the four spots, you can then find a mate. So a mate will appear of the same, whatever you are. If you're a dog, it'll be a dog. And there's two of them that will appear, and you've got to go find one of them and try to get him to come with you to this nest. And then you reproduce, and you create, depending on, your mate can be like a desperate one, which is bad because then you get fleas and blah, blah, blah. Or it can be an average female, which is relatively easy to attract, but you've got to be up to a certain rank before you can attract the average female. And then there's a, you know, prime female, and you have to be a boss rank to be able to attack her. And that's based on how much calories you've intaked. That's what determines your rank, whether you're rookie, veteran, or boss. So
this is weird.
It is weird. So if you mate with the desperate female, you'll have two pups. So it's basically two lives kind of thing. And then you have to wander to a different area, do the same thing, and just basically keep trying to survive. But if you mate with like the prime female, you can have 8 or 9 pups. So it's a lot easier to take on. There'll be like hordes of sheep in, or like bigger animals like hyenas when you enter some areas, and they'll just constantly attack you. So if you've got a bigger, you know, family size, then you've got a little more chance to survive there. But the longest I've lived is 34 years. So this is
really like Super Viva Pinata.
I'm not familiar with that game.
Oh, okay. it's pinatas, and they do it on your screen. I mean, it's weird. It's weird in a different direction than this game, but essentially, you're trying to procreate with these pinatas.
Oh.
Which is really strange because they made a show on, like, was it Fox or For Kids or Just For Kids or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do any of that stuff on that show, but it is just weird that that game is about that. Well, not fully about that, but it has it in there. Mm-hmm. And then they bring out this show, and it's got nothing to do with that. We'll just sweep that under the rug.
That's funny.
But yeah. That game series is weird and good, too.
Yeah. So. Well, there's another thing, too. Like, some areas are polluted.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be smog and stuff that will come up, and you'll have a toxic, I can't even say that word, toxicity bar or whatever that.
Yeah.
If it gets to 100%, then your life starts to deplete as well. So there's another element thrown in that you can be scrounging for food, trying to find food, and then all of a sudden this smog comes over you and you've got to try to escape that while still trying to find food. And it gets dark, so it's hard to see. You only have a certain range of sight at some points. And like, I ran into a bear last night while this is a little dog. And you can unlock other animals too, like bigger ones, by beating these hordes. So like, there was a cat had taken over this one district. And so I went there, I had to kill all the cats and the cat boss. And then after they were dead, I unlocked the cat character. So now I can play as a cat. But
so that actually gives a lot of extra replay value then.
Oh, yeah. And they have ranking. So every time you're done, it's kind of arcadey. Like, the music's really arcadey, and you get, like, points for clean kills. And at the end, they have online leaderboards. So at the end of every life or every playthrough, you know, because you play a bunch of times, it's not like a long game that you sit down and play, you're going to die, you know, at least a couple times a night.
Right.
So at the end of your game, it'll have your score, break down your score, and then it puts you on the online leaderboard and shows your spot for the event, like daily, monthly, all time, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I was 154th daily ranking yesterday at one point, but
that's pretty impressive, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure the game still gets a lot of play.
Oh, yeah, it still does. Like, today I was 2,000-something, because I was just playing before I jumped on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, that's...
That's kind of depressing with some of the games that I'm playing right now. The online leaderboards are pretty much dead. Nobody playing it right now. And, you know, that one, the one I'm talking about, it just came out, just got released for XBLA, and it just kind of, like, I love this game. I don't want to just keep playing the arcade mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's Fighting Vipers. Sorry.
Okay. That's kind of like with Journey. Like, I got that as soon as it came out, and I feel like, yeah, you can play it now and still have a really good experience with it, but there is something about playing this game when it first came out and
It was like the new frontier for everybody at that point.
Yeah, discovering with everyone else the different nuances of the game, because at that point we didn't know, you know, who are these white cape people? Like, how can you get a white cape? And, it, you know, it's from getting all the little symbols in the game and, you know, trying to understand how to communicate with, the best way to communicate with these random players that were popping into your game by using the signaling and stuff. So, I mean, it was just a completely different experience being one of the first groups online to play.
That's pretty cool.
So. So what have you been playing?
Pretty much everything on my list. I've been playing a lot of, like I said, Need for Speed. The only one that really isn't on my list, I've been playing Doom 3. The BFG edition, I don't know about the original version, the original Xbox one, but the BFG edition actually comes with Doom 1, all expansions, Doom 2, all expansions, and Doom 3, all expansions.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot of Doom going on in that game. So what I did is I'm really not playing Doom 3 right now. I tried it out. And funny story behind that too, Gabrielle started playing it. I played it a little bit and I said, "Here, you want you play?" And she's not very good at first person shooters. and this game plays consistently over 60 frames per second. And watching, we were playing in the dark, I seriously had to go to bed early. I was so sick.
Have you seen The Hobbit yet? Speaking of this frame per second, right? Okay.
No.
Because everyone's, you know, complaining about it. The 3D version anyway being filmed in like the 48 frames per second, and that it was like making people sick when they were watching the movie.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I didn't notice
it at all.
That
doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me, though. But yeah, I've been playing, so I started over. I'm on, I'm getting to the end of Doom 1, the first campaign, and so I'm slowly but surely getting all the way through it. You know, right now I'm reliving my late teens in Doom 3, so... so yeah, I've been playing that, the Minecraft, Need for Speed. I've gotten back into playing Pocket Legends because of you and my other coworkers. Let's see, what else have I got? Oh, Fighting Vipers. It's the same team that did Virtua Fighter from Sega. A little bit different, way wackier than Virtua Fighter. It's not as technical. Has a armor thing. You can blow armor off of your opponents and things like that. But essentially, it's. Then I might get hate mail for this. It's pretty much just Virtua Fighter. but it's a big game from back then. So when I heard that they released it for Xbox Live, I went and got it. And that's the game I was talking about a little while ago, where they just released it and nobody's playing it. There's nobody on the leaderboards. There are no head-to-head fights. There's nothing. The matchups, I can sit there for 10, 20 minutes and nobody comes on.
Hmm. That's kind of disappointing.
Kind of sad. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
I have a sound effect for that. That's the online board.
That's exactly how I feel.
I love those sound effects.
The other one that I'm playing is Guardian Heroes.
Oh, okay.
Old Saturn game. Yep, old Saturn game. Really good game, too. I've got the original version. I've got a Japanese copy. I've got a U.S. copy. Neat thing about this, there's a remix version, so all the graphics are all cleaned up. It doesn't look so... which is so weird, because if you play this on a regular... you know, regular old tube TV, it looks amazing, but it has a remix version. All the graphics are cleaned up, but it's the soundtrack is completely there. But in the remix version too, they made changes to the control schemes, and that's part of relearning the game, and you know, it breathes some new life into it again, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, because I know sometimes when they redo some of those games, people get really frustrated and they mix up the controls. So,
yeah, in this case, it's not bad. I really do like it. Yeah,
that's good. So, anything else?
Ingress.
I have to say, I went back and played some Minecraft when the power was out. Up
oh,
north,
cool.
I played out. Well, the power came back on, and then there was no internet for 5 days after that. So
Right.
I played offline on Minecraft, and I played some Sims too. So
which version of Minecraft are you playing? Like what version number?
Let me pull it up and find out for you. My Minecraft okay. opens really quick. I know there's an update. I haven't ran yet.
Yeah, and you're probably not doing any of the snapshots, are you?
1.4.6.
Okay, so you're actually not that much further than where I'm at
mm-hmm.
on the 360 version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's see. You've got hunger, experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can brew. You can enchant.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got. Blazes.
I haven't done either of those things, but...
yeah, I just barely started getting into enchanting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... but yeah, that's... Yeah, not too far. I mean, I think... I'm pretty sure the PC version's got, you know, way more, other than, of course, land, but way more in terms of options and different mobs as well.
Yeah.
But,
so...
One thing that I am just, again, barely scratching the surface on, Steam for Linux just got released last month.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I got to do a little bit of overhauling on my laptop, but once I get that all straightened out, stupid me, I went and I found where they were storing the beta tester's copy of Steam, and I installed it. And it gives me an error when it back then it gave me an error. It said, "This is a closed beta. Log in with your approved beta account." And then it just drops me off. Like, okay, I'll just wait until the full version comes out. Well, that came out, but somewhere in there, in my machine, has an old config file or something that I can't find. So even now, I've got the newer updated version that's available for everybody. It still gives me that error.
Yeah, still pulling something from.
Yeah, so right now I'm kind of screwed. I'll probably just blow my machine away. It's time for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We got so much junk on here, but I'll probably have a good report on that in the next show.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have been not logging into Steam for the past couple of weeks because of all the sales that are going on.
Oh God, I know.
I'm completely avoiding them.
Yeah, I wanted to get into Killing Floor over the holidays because they had a huge update. Huge sale and like just all kinds of stuff to go with it if you bought it for like I think it was like $6.
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard of Killing Floor?
I've heard of it. Everyone is playing it on my Steam list.
Yeah, it's essentially a really dark and gritty version, not like movie style zombies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a version of Left 4 Dead, really. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's squad based. You have all these military guns instead of it being like that wide array, like the kind of stuff you'd find in a zombie movie. And there are boomers, there are smokers, but they're all different named.
Mm-hmm.
But they all do the same thing. It's cool. It's really cool.
It sounds cool.
Yeah. The neat thing in between is that in between waves of the hordes, when you kill zombies. They drop cash, they drop items, things like that. So actually you start building up money, and in between the waves, you get an indicator, like, get to the shop real quick. You can stock up on extra stuff. And then the timer runs out on that, and then boom, you're back into it.
Hmm. Sounds cool.
It's a very interesting take on the old formula.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah.
I guess one thing I forgot to mention is I did mention it. I played some of The Sims when I was up north, my new expansion packs, and I got the Late Night and the Ambitions one, and I really wanted the Ambitions one because you can be like a ghost hunter, you can be a vampire, you can be all this cool stuff. but the Late Night one was really laggy, like, you know, it would take me forever to do anything, and so I haven't been going back to that one because I'm thinking they're needs to be an update or something to fix it because it's just super laggy on my computer. And all the other ones play fine, so. Anyway, that's my report on that. I know no one plays it except for me. But,
I play the
man,
portable
this
version.
stuff's addicting.
Yeah, I like The Sims. I love the concept. I love how, well, in the newer versions, do they freak out as bad when your stove catches on fire?
Well, your stove doesn't really catch on fire anymore.
lame.
I know, it can, but, like, my favorite thing to do is, in the Ambitions pack, you can be an architectural designer. And this is my favorite thing about playing The Sims, is half the time I don't even play. I just go on, I build these, like, I put in the cheat code, you know, motherload for $50,000, and I'll do it, like, 100 times. And then I'll just build, like, these awesome houses and stock them with furniture. I've spent so much money just, like, getting packs of furniture from Origin Store. But, so in the new one, you can be an architectural designer, and you get to go into other Sims houses in your home and redo, like, their bathrooms or whatever they want you to do. Yeah, so that's kind of fun. I like doing that. That's, like, super addicting. So, So I've got a list of the games that are coming out in January. And if you're if you're interested about any of them, I did look up a little bit, so just let me know. But I didn't write down the dates or anything either. Forget those dates. So I put, we got Unchained Blades for the 3DS, and that is already available in North America on the PSP. It's like a dungeon crawler RPG, which I guess you can travel with like a party of four people, and those four people can recruit four monsters, so you can have like a total of 20 people. It sounds like it would be super confusing, but
is that real people, or like you actually have a party, or is that NPCs essentially?
I think it's NPCs, but I don't know for sure. But it's coming out for the 3DS, and I guess the game director, I'm not even attempt to say his name, but he'd worked on like Lunar previously, and then one of the designers worked on Grandia. So
those are big names.
Yep. Anarchy Reigns is coming to the PS3 and 360. It's like an online, it's a download only kind of thing, I think. Like a beat 'em up by Sega. So sounds like a fighter beat 'em up kind of thing. There's multiplayer modes. It came out, I guess there's some, it has something to do with that Mad World game for the Wii. You ever play that?
Oh, yeah, I own that one. Yeah, I went on a big like M-rated game spree for the Wii for a while. And that's a really crazy good game.
Well, apparently there's some returning characters from that game. So this is by the same developer and publisher. I don't know if it's like a sequel or, but I think it's along those lines. So it's
what's it coming out for?
PS3 and 360 online.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's called Anarchy Reigns. Yeah, check it out. Okay. DMC, which is like another Devil May Cry game, I guess.
Yeah.
Coming out for the 360, PS3, PC. Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 is coming out. And again, I don't really play FPS games, but that one is, I've heard highly talked about the first one at least. Have you heard about it? Sniper Ghost Warrior?
Not that particular version, but isn't that part of the Tom Clancy series?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Some of those are pretty good. I think that one is.
I guess this one, it's like, it's unique because it employs like stealth and hand-to-hand combat in addition to like your, you know, sniper. And so, okay. I don't know. And it has, there's multiplayer mode, but no co-op in it. Just so you know.
Okay.
And then, of course, Ni No Kuni. That's the RPG. It's co-developed by Japanese developer Level 5, and then the anime company Studio Ghibli. So, like, you play as a 13-year-old named Oliver, and he's got a little friend named Drippy, and you enter this parallel universe because you're trying to find your mother who suddenly dies at the beginning of the game, which I don't really think that's a spoiler because it's been out in Japan for over a year, so anyone who's interested in it, like myself, already knows what's going on, I guess, in the beginning. But I'm super excited for that, so definitely expect a super long blog post when it comes out. And then only two more games that are coming out in January that I could find. There's the Strike Suit Zero for the PC. It's like a space flight combat game. It's being developed by an independent studio called Born Ready Games. And it sounds kind of cool. It's like a sequential mission-based game, kind of like an arcade-style space shooter, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then the last thing I've got here is Hitman HD Trilogy for the 360 and PS3. So I haven't played any of the Hitman games, so I can't really speak to it.
I've got friends that were into them, and mm-hmm. You know, just going by them, a lot of them swear by it, how good it is, storyline wise.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's all I've got. That's coming out in January.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So, January releases, and you almost kind of text message.
I know. Gosh.
Yeah.
Popular.
Hey, at least you get text messages, and you don't have hard drive failure. But you almost started talking about it earlier. You were talking about Pure Solar.
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned, I think it was maybe last time I was on, but they had a Kickstarter, right. The folks that made Pure Solar. And what they were trying to do was get money to do some digital releases of the game, of an HD remake of the game. So they'd gone through and completely redone the graphics and stuff on it, at least the character graphics. And they were going to release it on the 360. They reached some of their stretch goals, so it's going to be out on the Wii U, which is pretty cool. Yeah. They reached all of their stretch goals, I think, actually. Let me see how much money they raised here. I had it pulled up a minute ago. But what they were also going to do is a physical release for like PC and for the Dreamcast, and for both of those they were going to have collector's editions, which, if you're familiar with like the last collector's edition that they had for Pure Solar when they first brought it out for the
Sega Genesis. CD and all that, yeah.
Sega CD and Genesis and stuff, yeah. It was like super detailed, and they just pay a lot of attention to detail and that sort of stuff. So they were looking for $139,000 for their Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and they ended up getting $231,370.
Nice.
And that's Watermelon Co.
Okay. Now, do you know, are these versions going to be different than like the previous releases? Like, other than of course the graphic quality is going to be better.
Not that I understand. I listened to a podcast where one of the guys from Watermelon was on, mm-hmm. and he said it's the same game. It's just going to be HDified and cleaned up. So, yeah, no, I think it's going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
I'm looking here. It's going to be on Android in the Ouya.
No, wait. Android for Ouya or Android, period?
Both.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yep. And that was one of the stretch goals. So that's an extra that you get. Guess the Dreamcast is going to come with some extras. And what they're doing is they're actually, like, they're doing packaging. So, like, if you got a physical copy of the game based on your pledge, you can pick whether you want the Japanese, European, or U.S. packaging so it fits in with your, Dreamcast games that you might have in your collection. Oh, like, yeah. It'll look, yeah, it's pretty cool. So I pledged, and I won't even say how much, but at the pledge, I get the Pure Solar Collector's Edition for the Dreamcast, which it says is a beautiful limited edition physical package that includes Pure Solar for the Dreamcast. You get to choose what packaging you want. It comes with a Pure Solar guidebook, signed lithography, and 3 figurines. So they only had 750 of those. So the first 750 got that. And then, of course, it comes with a digital copy if you want as well. And I think some extras because they met all their stretch goals. So pretty cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's going to be December 2013.
Little time to wait.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I'll forget about that money before long.
Right. And then you'll forget that it's even coming out, and you get your package in the mail, and it's Christmas all over again.
Yeah, but what's crazy is they didn't have like a crazy number of backers. For the $231,000 that they got, there were only 3,500 backers.
So people, a lot of people are dropping some big money then.
Big money. Someone pledged and sold out their highest option, which is $7,500. Yeah, they get to go to Paris with them. They get everything, the works.
Right.
So they sold out the $3,000 one. They sold out all the $3,000 ones. They had a couple of them, I guess. They had $1,000 levels, which there's like 7, 8, 16, a bunch of people, more than you'd expect to spend $1,000.
Well, the original run gained a lot of popularity, so...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that it's probably a lot of the same people that backed it originally were mm-hmm. throwing more money at it.
Yeah. But I'm pretty excited. I'll be super excited. I never played it when it first, came out because I didn't get my hands on it. But to have the Dreamcast version will be pretty cool.
Yeah, that will be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. You want to wrap it up?
Sure.
Okay.
I want to
do a couple of quick shout-outs.
Yep.
Our boy Brian, everybody knows that we've been talking about him as Pook Ninja. he is on another podcast. They call themselves the Fat Ninja Podcast. They talk about games, and they're not very safe for work, but... it's another gaming podcast, and they hang out on, where is that, Podbean? FatNinjaGameTalkRadio.podbean.com. So, check them out if you want to get a little bit of variety in your gaming and all that. They also talk about wrestling stuff.
How frequently do they record?
It's on and off, but I know they record a lot, more than us. Mm-hmm. But, we only do it once a month for between an hour and two hours. but their episodes are a lot shorter.
Okay.
Did I lose you again?
You're cutting in and out, but I can still hear you.
But just wanted to, give a shout out to them. Yeah, okay. I wanted to give a shout out to them. I've been kind of missing out. I've been promising I would say something to for them, on our shout outs because they've been doing it for us. nice
yes,
job.
Thank you.
I at least need to reciprocate there for them. But check them out. They got some good stuff. So I guess that kind of wraps up our episode 3.
Yep. Go ahead. I was just going to say, if you guys want to read the blog, it's at gameblips.wordpress.com.
Gameblips Reviews.
Gameblips Reviews, that's right.
Yes, yeah.
At WordPress.
For some reason, I lost the original subdomain. They wouldn't let me have it, so.
And I meant to say that, and I just didn't.
Yep, so you can catch us there. You can get to our whole hub of all the places we publish our articles at about.me/gameblips. That'll take you to our WordPress site. That'll take you to G+. That'll take you to Facebook and our Twitter. And it has at least our main contact information for Gameblips themselves. If you want to get in contact with me, I'm on Twitter. Under Dalum, D-A-L-U-M. You can get a hold of me, really, on all the Gameblips stuff. So there's that. And then, Kara, you got yours?
Yep. I didn't have a Twitter, so I created one almost specifically for this purpose. But you can find me, Gameblips Kara, on Twitter. And I won't even bother trying to spell out my last name, so just search for that.
Oh, come on. we always have that phone line available for you can leave voicemails, gaming questions about us and why we do what we do. You can reach us at 989-545-1211. You can leave us about a 2-minute voicemail, ask us about different games that we play, anything like that. Even if it doesn't have to do with gaming. Call us. Leave us a voicemail. We love it. We'll put it on the show. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. Good show. Lot less technical difficulties. Yes. Way less technical difficulties. So, yep. Yeah, we'll see you guys in February.
All right. See ya.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.